praise. We thank you for the grace that you have given to us. Thank you for your word as it comes to us. Thank you for impartation. Thank you most importantly that we learn to walk, to do according to your word. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. God's goodness looks good on us. Hallelujah. If you know what Toby was saying, it looks good on you physically and it looks good on you spiritually. These three Hebrew children in quotes are twice their size when they came here. When I saw that picture yesterday, I said, wow, I'm not kidding. Am I kidding? And it's not an insult. It's God's goodness. Amen. So you can imagine that as in all that we are complaining. Hallelujah. And it's not that you didn't have complaints all through from that time to this time. And it's not that you don't still have complaints. But it's still good. It's what you take cognizance of. That is important. Someone says that when you, whatever you fill your mind with, as you are thinking, then you see that thing come to play. And that's why they say you should be very careful when you say you are dreaming, because it may be whatever you were disturbing your head with during the day. Hallelujah. But that doesn't to say, that doesn't mean that God doesn't speak to us in dreams. Hallelujah. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped, furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. So all scripture is given for that purpose, and it's important to note. This morning, God will have me speak concerning positioning yourself to hear from God. And the amazing thing is that that's all we've been hearing all morning. Hallelujah. When we were doing Bible school, it came up. And that's what he actually dealt with me to say. Amen. In Habakkuk chapter 2, I will follow the scriptures as it leads. Habakkuk chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the ramparts and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. If you read the Amplified Classic Version, it says, oh, Habakkuk 2, verse 1, Amplified Classic. It says, oh, I know I have been rushed to talk out plainly this way to God. I will, in my thinking, stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower of fortress and will watch to see what he will say within me and what answer I will make as his mouthpiece to the perplexities of my complaint against him. Hallelujah. Says, I will, in my thinking, stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower of fortress and will watch to see what he will say within me. Hallelujah. Don't forget, we are coming from the fact that all scripture given by the inspiration of the Almighty. The New Living Translation. My left palm has been itching me since yesterday. Maybe money's coming. It's not normal, they say. You don't know. There's only one person who can claim that one. Apologies. He says, Habakkuk 2, the New Living Translation. He says, I will climb up to my watchtower. Notice this thing. So, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. So he has personalized this thing. If you read ordinarily the KJV, it says that I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he says to me. The Amplified and the New Living Translation breaks it down. It says that I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. The Amplified Classic says that I will, in my thinking, stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower of fortress and will watch to see what he will say within me and what answer I will make as his mouthpiece to the perplexities of my complaint against him. Hallelujah. If you look at a fortress or the watchtower, it's not a place where everybody goes. Okay? It's not readily accessible to everybody. Okay, so if you go to the airport and the watchtower, it's not even everybody that works there that's able to access that watchtower. If you go to this military, whatever, it's not everybody that goes to the watchtower, okay? But when you are in the watchtower, you are very attentive and very observant. Hallelujah. Because anything that you pick at the watchtower determines the faith of those that are behind you in that fortress or guard room or whatever. And it determines, for those at the weather watchtower, it determines the faith of the people that are flying in the aeroplane. Okay? Because they watch and they begin to say, and then they signal. So in the watchtower for the aeroplane, for instance, they look at the weather conditions and they begin to speak with whichever pilot that they can observe that, look, this direction, this is what you need to do, this is how, and this is coming your way. So they have that communication with the aeroplanes. So in the watchtower, there's no room for laxity. Hallelujah. It's a place of complete, I don't know what to say, complete, in quote, complete solitude. You are there and all your senses are at alert. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when this was written, when this was written, and I read, and I noticed that it says, I will, in my thinking, stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower of fortress. The battlefield is in the mind. So when we have any, if there's going to be anything, battle, in quotes, everything starts from the mind. Okay? Your words come to you, it goes to your mind, you begin to ruminate upon it, another one comes to you, you mix it with whatever you've heard before, and then you say, I was wrong, and then that's where the battle happens. And if there is no, if that portion of you is not still, okay, is not quiet, is not observant, then you are going to miss a lot of things. So if the, if your mind is riotous, which is why I said some people say that when you say you dream, you're most likely you're probably dreaming of whatever riot was going on in your mind. Hallelujah. So it's very important. It says, in my thinking, I will stand upon my post of observation. Mind you, I'm saying positioning yourself to hear from God. So if you go to John chapter 10. Now let's go to Hebrews 1 first. Hebrews 1 verses 1 and 2. Okay, before I read Hebrews 1, let me read Joshua 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. My emphasis is on verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You will meditate in it day and night. And night. Hallelujah. It's very, it looks like an Herculean task in this, whatever, even in that age and this age. You know why I say so? Because you will have things that are competing for your attention. Hallelujah. There will be times that you need to take yourself out of that your solitude area and attend to other things. But he's saying that in all that you are doing, you have to meditate on the word of God day and night. Hallelujah. Some will argue that it's figurative at every opportune time. Hallelujah. Some will say it's just weaving of words. Okay? But what it means is that at no instance must you be without meditating on God's word. On Thursday, when Toby was giving his testimony, and he was talking about the fact that he was, if you ask him, he would tell you that everything he talked about probably was in the space of 1 hour or 2 hours. But the time that his spirit connected with the Spirit of God was in the twinkle of an eye. Hallelujah. Amen. But for the time he had an issue, okay, he wanted to resolve it, and then he went the way of his generation. Hallelujah. And it's no crime. He went the way of his generation. Everybody will go the way of their generation. So he went and he consulted the oracle. You know, every generation has different oracles. So the generation of my parents, they had the oracle they would consult, Abby. Our own generation, we are consulting. We are the oracle of God. Hallelujah. But in this generation that we are, the oracle is the internet. Abi? And artificial intelligence. So when he had the problem, he consulted the oracle. And when he looked at what the oracle was saying, this oracle is saying nonsense. Abi? I don't know what he told us. He said, I looked at this, he said, This is talking jargon. It's not even jargon. It's talking nonsense. As in, the question he asked it, and the response that was coming back to him, he himself knew in the core of his being that this is crap. I cannot work with this. Amen. You know, there's a lesson in that. And I will get to that lesson. And then he said, a cord struck on the inside of him. And direction was given. Hallelujah. Very similar to what we read in 2 Corinthians this morning. That at your weakest point, God's strength comes to bear. Amen. So he said when he eventually got that thing, he went ahead and the problem was solved. Hallelujah. But you know that at the point that he had that problem, he knew that it was beyond his own capacity. So what makes the difference is where you look for the help. Hallelujah. You know, in the exam room, I think I've told you this story before, and I love this story. I like telling it. When you're in the exam room, okay, so when there's exam, they tell us before time. We all know that from the 8th week of school, it's most likely going to be exam from the 9th to 10th week. So the last 2 weeks of school is always just for you to do some rounding up. But you do exams from around like the 10th and 11th week or the 9th and the 10th week. So we know. But then they are gracious enough to bring out timetable and they give you like 2 weeks notice. Okay? So if you have not been doing any studying over time, you have that grace to study 2 weeks. That's in the tertiary institution. I think I told you before, when they started this GSS 6334 system of education, my set was the second set that would do 6334. Okay? So that means 6 years in primary, 3 years in junior secondary, 3 in senior secondary, then 4, depending on what you choose, what minimum of 4. So if you decide to go for medicine, then you can spend 7, 8 years, 9 years, depending if you don't have a receipt. Hallelujah. So, and they told us then that 60% of your grade when you do your GS3 exam is called continuous assessment. That means they take from GS1, GS2, and then GS3, continuous assessment. That final exam that we sit for is 40%. That's what they said. So that means that once you start junior secondary school, what they expect from you is consistency in your work that you are doing over time. Okay? So if you want to get A star, that means that you are an A star, you were A star in GS1, A star in GS2, A star in GS3, because they will submit all those things. And then when you do the exam, it's just to come and top the icing, it's just 40%. So meaning that most of the marks come from your previous work. And then they said that once you do the GS3 exam and you don't pass, I think for us then, because we were in the second set, it was just mathematics and English, then they will take you to technical school and they built the lab, very beautiful. There was carpentry, there was welding. There were so many workshops that they built. So if you would not go on with general academic work, then you do technical work. And because me, I'm a superstar, we did not listen. We did not take to mind out that GS1, GS2, GS3 was going to add up to SS, the last exam. So then you play, you score your mark. You play, GS2, you score your mark. There was a particular exam I wrote with Plaster of Paris, POP. We went to play ball. We were playing on concrete. I jumped up. My friend pushed me. I slammed my wrist. And it's two days away was exam. So when I got to, and that time it was objective. So when I got to the clinic, And the guy was going to put cast. I said, okay, see, I'm going to shade. So let me test so that he won't cast anything wrong. So he put the pencil. So if I want to shade, I can't hold like this because of the injury. So I will shade. And it was just fun. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when I got to GS3, that's when I thought, wow, this is the time to read. Okay? I didn't read in the first time. The exam was the second time. So, wow, this time to read. So I gathered all my books, gathered everything, and I started reading and reading and reading and reading and reading. I read. I was almost reading blood, sweating blood, reading. And then when the result will come out, because of the energy I put in at the last level, I expected that the result will come out and I will have all my A's from beginning to the end. I didn't have it. I had only 2 C's, 2 credits, and 7 B's. Interesting. So when my mother came, I showed me the result. And I started crying. I said, no, this is not my result. My mother looked at me. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, this is not my result. I said, I grade for this thing. I said, well, the good thing, because I said, yeah, I'm going to go to carpentry. I was just thinking different things because they did tell me, I was expecting that you will have credit, okay, at the worst. So my mother said, well, thank God that you had your credit in mathematics and English. Then I relaxed. But see that experience. When I moved to SS1, it was as if I was on drugs. The way I read for that final GS3 exam, from the blast of SS1, I started reading. What had never happened in the history of me, Olumiwa, was that in the assembly, they normally call us out at halftime and say, these are the people that have done well. For my first time all my life in school, all the 9 years I spent in school, they never called me. But this one, they called me and said, he has done this. I was feeling very good. Now, what has happened? What has changed? I have learned to listen and be consistent in my work, book work. Amen. And I learned that it was no magic at the last minute to get any result in the system that they have laid down for us. Because at that time, they still maintained that the same thing will happen in SS1, SS2. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. I don't know if they do that anymore. But that was what they sold to us. Now, when you are working with God, you cannot leave it until dying minute for you to go and find out what God is saying. Not that story I told you. That's the essence. Don't say, if you didn't listen to that story, that was this man saying, you have missed the essence of the story. You cannot leave it to the dying minute. That's saying, now, God, I need you now. You must speak now. You will stay there and it will take ages because you are not accustomed to God. Hallelujah. It says, meditate on it day and night, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. So we keep our hand in Habakkuk 2. We keep another thumb in Joshua 1. And then your little finger in Hebrews chapter 1. Hallelujah. He says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Hallelujah. He said, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Romans 15, verse 4. Says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. All these things were written before. So he said, in time past, he has spoken to us by his prophets. Okay? So the prophets will hear, and then they will tell the people. He says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds. And hear what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27. Let me take it from verse 25. John 10, 25. Emphasis is on 27. He said, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hallelujah. If you are not positioning yourself, Habakkuk 2 tells us that, look, you know what? In my mind, in my thinking, I'm going to steel myself, and therein I'm going to wait and hear what the Lord will say. Okay? So he was expecting God to reach out to him in his mind, in his thinking, in his spirit being. Hallelujah. So it's not about the fact that God will come and say, bro, deep ball, stand up, go to the left, go to the right. He's saying in his thinking. Hallelujah. Now he has said now that, you know what? I know my sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hallelujah. So we'll just plug in the missing things there. My sheep hear my voice. So when he calls out, his sheep hear his voice. Okay? He knows them and they follow him. So that means that his sheep also know him. Hallelujah. For him to call out to them, okay, because he knows them, and for them to follow him, that means that they know him. Amen. And knowing is not just acquaintance. Hallelujah. There are different things. So when somebody is acquaintance, and when you know somebody, there are different things. If you know somebody physically, it's not the same thing as you know the person. If you can identify, with someone and say, I know this person. Oftentimes it's wrong. It's a wrong use of the word know. Hallelujah. Okay? Knowing is not the physical thing. When you say you know, that means that you understand that person that much, and you are able to a good extent predict what the person will do. And that's why when people bring reference forms and guarantor forms, be very careful. Hallelujah. You will say, because I met him in church. I know him. Huh? Dangerous. Because if somebody is just an acquaintance and you're not friends with the person, you have not had any contact with the person, you cannot say, I know him. And Christ is saying here that I know them and they follow me. So the people that we hear from God, If you will hear from God, you put yourself in a position of one, the person that was referred to in Joshua 1, verse 8, that meditates on the word of God day and night. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll be like the one that was referred to in Habakkuk, that you are in a still position where there is no distraction. So on a continual basis, you make it a habit to be in that solitude, in your own watchtower, in your mind, waiting to hear what God will say. But all of these things are based on what we are told in Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 2, that in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. Your positioning is very important. If you look at this telecommunication mast, Oluwa, if you stay under the mast and think that your reception will be better than everybody's reception, you are deceiving yourself. Because let us assume that I'm the mast. The antennas on the mast, they radiate. They don't point down. So if you go and stay under the antenna and say that you have the best signal, you are not going to receive any signal. So if you begin to wonder, what is this man saying? So if I'm here and the mast is here, I am not being serviced by the mast that I'm standing by. I am being serviced by another mast that is radiating towards me. So when, you know, some people, they build masts in their house, they'll be forming that their signal will be super. Of all men, most ignorant. Because it won't go, it won't. So you are not going to be able to receive. Now, if you know that, that's what works. Huh? You will not go and stay under a mast and say you receive. I'm saying that because you see a mast in your compound, does not mean that you are receiving from that mast. If you know it, you will look elsewhere and be like, that's what will serve me. Many of us don't bother about it. But you see, what happens is that when people now, but the mast is inside my compound, I'm not receiving. It's because they don't know. Christ said, I know them and they follow me. What you know is what is going to work for you. Amen. He says that he has spoken to us by Christ. In these last days, if you don't know it, you cannot walk with it. If you don't know what he has spoken in these last days, through Christ, you cannot walk with it. And we have read Romans 15:4. Whatever all things that were written before, we are written for our learning. So the Bible that's in Joshua 1 that it says that we should read this book of the law must not depart from, you should meditate on it day and night. Understand the fact that when you meditate day and night, you will stumble on the things that God has in stock for you. The first time you stumble on it, the second time you'll not be stumbling. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you just open the Bible and you read something for the first time, that's stumbling because it was not the deliberate thing. But because you have read it the first time, it has an imprint in your mind. Okay? That's the engrafted word of God. It has an imprint in your mind. The next time you want that word, you will go to it. Okay? And then you begin to decipher the word and begin to break it down. And you cannot break it down without asking, what would you have me see in this word? Amen. Look at what in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 17. John 5, 17. It says, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than this that you marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to all to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Amen. Look at verse 24. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he says in John chapter 4, John chapter 14. Verse 25. It says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave to you with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. He says that the Helper, the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Amen. So I was talking to them, and he's saying, you know, when the Helper comes, and don't forget, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that they have spoken to us in these last days by Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus, when he was leaving, he said, the Helper must come. It is imperative that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come. Amen. And then he says here that he will bring to remembrance everything that I have said to you. So it's not going to be up your place when you say that you hear from God. Hallelujah. Because his written word. That's why we read 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said his written word. God speaks to us with his written word. And that's why he said in Joshua chapter 1 that you meditate on the law day and night. He said that way you make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Why would you say you should meditate on it? Because the keys, okay, that you need are written there. Hallelujah. Not everybody will have that spectacular encounter of hearing a voice. Hallelujah. But everybody has that opportunity of reading the written word of God. Hallelujah. And he has been so gracious that he sent his Holy Spirit to help us in remembering the things that he has said. When the pressures of life come, because oftentimes that's what everybody tries to deal with. When the pressures of life come, what you remember at that point tells volumes of what is on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You have to position yourself. Position yourself in your own solitude, in your own thinking, in your own closet. And then do not neglect the gathering of the brethren. See, in Samuel, First Samuel chapter 3. First Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1 and I'll stop at verse 5, by the grace of God. It says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Hallelujah. Let's put our finger there. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. I'm going to read. Hold on. It's for Samuel 3. Put your finger there. Acts 13. So Acts 13, for Samuel, so that the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, right? And then Acts 13. Now, from verse 1, it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called, I don't know if it's Niger or Niger or Niger or Niger. Is it Niger or Niger or Niger? Which one? Niger. Lucius of Cyrene. Manaim, who had been brought up with Herod and Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Hallelujah. So these ones, they ministered to the Lord. And it was in the place of ministering to God that the Holy Spirit spoke. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Amen. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call. My son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Amen. Remember, we talked about the fact that knowing, he was ministering to the Lord, but yet the Bible records that he did not yet know the Lord. He had not yet had that encounter, that experience, for him to say, I know God. In verse 8, it says, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must speak, Lord. You must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. And that began Samuel's journey with God. Amen. But he was in the place of ministering to God. He was serving, ministering, serving. Hallelujah. And that's where God found him. And the Bible thankfully records that he had not yet known the Lord, nor was it revealed to him. The Christians, the disciples at Antioch, they were ministering to God, and then the Holy Spirit spoke. I'm saying, position yourself. When you choose to stay in your tower, watch tower, and in your thinking, also know that there's a place of ministering where God reaches out to people. Knowing him is far, far beyond the service. Hallelujah. But in the place of service, God reveals himself to his people. Hallelujah. When you are busy ministering for God, God will reveal himself to you, and then you will enact a relationship with him, and then you can say, I know God. When people readily throw up their arms in the air, in the face of adversity, the Bible says their faith is up to nothing. I can't remember that scripture now. It says, I think it's in Psalms, so I can't. You help me pick it out. Huh? Let me display it. Thank you. Proverbs 24. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. My Bible says your faith is not up to anything. Because it's in this day of adversity, like we read in 2 Corinthians 12 this morning, it's in this day of adversity that your own weakness, you should exchange your weakness for his strength. Hallelujah. And this is not the time for you to faint. So when you know God, you do not faint in the day of adversity. Knowing God is not word of mouth. Knowing God is enacting a relationship with God. You know, oftentimes everybody believes, so it is will be out of place that you have a family and people outside that family know the people in the family more than themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Knowing them, they can see themselves facially. But the things that they can do and the things that they will do in any situation, it will be strange. There will be an outsider that will come and tell me that, this is your son. This is what he can do. In fact, when you are telling me that this is what my son has done, I will tell you that I will help you finish it before you start. I will tell you that, oh, really? And then I'm sure after that he did this, and after that he did this, and then when people, they just put their hand and say, okay, sir, so you understand. I understand, because I know him. So last week I was in an environment, and we were reporting the children. They say, we put a speaker here, we put a speaker there. So they say, why is this speaker not working? We put the speaker here, pick the speaker. And I went to where they put the speaker, and I looked at the speaker. I said, sir, this is where the speaker is. But when we are downstairs, I want to use the speaker, it will not work. By the time we come here, before you finish, I said, they will have pulled out the cord. I said, how did you know? I said, because I used to do it. Amen. As a boy, you put a speaker down there and it's disturbing. We don't want to go home. You are telling me that one speaker is there so that they can hear that you are calling me. I will remove it now. And then when you are calling me that they have come to pick me, we will say that we did not hear. Did we hear? The man looked at me. I said, you want to deceive yourself. I don't know how old you are. But when I was growing up, even when I started working, my yoga, he wanted to be monitoring all of us. If he hears today, he'll be laughing. So we're in the workshop. Let's assume the workshop is on this side. His office is here. So yeah, he was forming yoga. Now went to buy a camera. He put one in everywhere, one in the sales, one here. He now put one in the workshop. In that workshop, we eat, we repair things, we sleep. We don't doze. We sleep. You know the difference. The one I do is, like some of you are doing now. We sleep. We move everything. All the computer moves, and then we sleep. Sometimes you put your overall or your head because you don't want the light to disturb your sleep. And then he now went to buy camera, and then he put one. So the day they came to fix the camera, the guys were, they put the console in his office so that he can have control. And before you, God help me, before you, between here, this is our office, this is his office. My own office is there, so I can see anybody going into his office. Before you go into the workshop, you have to pass my own office. So the guy was busy setting the camera. When he left, the guys in the workshop, they put overall on the camera. So The guy went to a guy's room. Ah, he looked at the camera. This is not showing. This is not showing. When it's coming out, I will knock the table. So they will remove it. By the time he enters, ah, he will do this again. Then he will remove the camera. Then he will fix it again. Then he will go. Once he leaves, they will put it. The whole day. That's what the guy was doing. So tell me that I put a camera in my house now and it's not working, and I would think that the camera is not working. I would look at my son and say, you are the one that... It's just natural. So when you know, you see, when you know somebody, you would checkmate the person. Hallelujah. Before the person moves here, you are moved there. And so when you are working with God, imagine that you are working with God and you are able to follow God. There won't be challenges. All this faint adversity will not be anything to you. Because you know God's next move. Abi, he says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. I will say to the Lord, is my what? Refuge and my fortress. If I see adversity, will I run? I will go under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where I will be. And when he's looking for me, he's not going to look far. He's not going to be looking for me in the crowd. Where is this boy? He says, as wherever his shadow is, he knows I will be there. He says, they know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's no point you knowing him and not following him. Christ has made it three. They know my voice, I know them, and they follow me. When God was going to reach out to Samuel, he did not say, "Who's Wobi?" He didn't say that. You know, all of us, we are fond of that thing. When you are in the market, as long as you know, yes, you look back. Me, I don't look. I don't look. If you cannot run and tap me in the market, then who's? No. Who's Wobi? That's who's Wobi now, Abby. Who's Wobi? Although that who's Wobi is for the girls. So, you know. Okay, you don't know. So let me tell you how it is for the girls. So when those people go to club and they see those ladies that come to the club, they say, who's Wobi? Meaning that you are not here just for here now, Abby. Look at us, we are here. Exactly. God made an audible sound and he called him by his name. Who sang that song this morning? He knows my name. He knows everything. God, the Bible says, he numbered the hair on my head. You know the meaning of he numbered it? All these chairs that you are sitting on, they are numbered. If I want, so last week I was with Temiloluwa on the football field, and then they gave them bibs to wear, and they told them that we are not calling you by name, know your number. So if you call number one, you know it's you. That's what it means when he says he numbered the hair on your head. So if number 59 falls off, God knows that number 59 has fallen off. He says, I know them. They hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Is that deliberate about us? We have to remain in that position and be that deliberate about reaching out to God ourselves. That you don't hear from God is because you have not put yourself in a position to hear from him. When Samuel was hearing, he went to Eli. And then Eli said, next time, oh, this is what is happening. Because Eli understood the way that God deals or works with his people. So Eli could give him direction. And we are far better than what Samuel experienced. We are far better than what Eli experienced. He says he has spoken to us in this time by Jesus. That means you cannot hear from him without the Holy Spirit. Because what he left for you and I to deal with is the Holy Spirit. He says he will bring to remembrance everything that I have said to you. You know why he said that? Because it's possible for you to forget the things that he has said to you. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, he said he will bring to remembrance. Hallelujah. That's why we don't go to exam room relying on what we have read. If Christ was speaking to his disciples and he was perceiving that these people will forget, how much more you that you are reading for an exam? And you say, you know the whole of this book. How? How? Except you are like me. You know, when I go to SS1, I read like I was smoking everywhere. Psh, psh, everywhere. If you get to my bed, you'll find a Babio, you'll find a Abbott. Did you use those books? Find a Babio, Abbott. Then you find 101. You know 101? You can't know it now. I went to dig that one out that Mr. Zaire cannot know. You don't know 101. Ikeobi. Eh? You know 101. Do you know 101? It's I.O. Ikeobi. It's a chemistry textbook. That was the first chemistry textbook before Ababio came. I put them on my bed. When I'm sleeping, I'll sleep on this one, sleep on that one. Open it. When I wake up, I open it. I read. I close. Gocheleon. You know Gocheleon? I could recite Gocheleon. Ah, tropical rainforest, everything, Amazon. Today, if you ask me any question, I will just scan Gocheleon in my head. It's okay. Sedimentary rock, where is it? Upper course of your river, lower course. When I'm pointing things out for this world, at least I read it like this. Then when I went to write exam, my first exam in SS1, the first one, my geography, I got 50-50. My teacher wrote on the paper. And I wish I kept that paper. She wrote on the paper, thank you for showing that I actually taught these things in class. I wrote everything word for word. Was that year? Me that I was always playing. I got 60 something, 65. It was that SS1. My first exam, mathematics, I got 94%. Took me to Olympiad. I said, they took me for mathematics Olympiad because of that performance. I said, Mika, Olympiad. These people don't know anything. I'm suffering at home. That's the beauty of studying. And you can't have the Bible and say God is not speaking to you. Are you reading it? Saying, but the situations in the Bible are not the same situations. Take that word and apply it to yourself. It will lead you to where you read, that you apply to your situation. That's why he said the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance everything that he has said to you. So when we read, when I finish reading, I just pray, God, when I get to this exam room, help me to remember. That's what I do. Help me to remember all that I have read. The things I don't know now are the things I did not put to heart when I was in secondary school. Let's rise to our feet. You are going to be challenging yourself and challenging God positioning yourself right and positioning yourself with the scriptures, with the Bible, reading it on a daily basis, that's when he speaks to you. God has not spoken to me today. Go and read the Bible. He will speak to you. God is not, go and minister to the Lord. He will reveal himself to you while you are ministering. God has chosen you and I as the ones, as the ears that we will have heard, as the eyes that will see what he has in stock by the help of the Holy Spirit. The tricky, the joy is that if the Holy Spirit knows, then you know. Hallelujah. If you don't know, you have not asked. If you have asked and he has told you, and you think you are not getting the result, you have not applied it appropriately. There's right division of the word of truth. Let's talk to God this morning. Enough of beating around the bush. You are equipped to manage this life, your body, your soul, and your spirit. You are equipped to manage it. Manage it effectively. You are not to be thrown by every wind of doctrine through and through. But if it's not written and it's not consistent with what is written, it cannot be God. There's no confusion in God. Let's talk to him this morning. Thank him for his grace upon your life. The joy of being together is that we function as a body. The one that is, we play in the hand, we play the hand. The one that is leg, we play the leg. But everyone doing what he's supposed to do, that's what makes the body functions. Father, we give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory. Thank you because you kindle an excitement on the inside of us to search out your will and to walk with your word as written. So you have spoken to us in these last days through Jesus. Thank you because he knows us. He says we hear his voice, he knows us, and we follow him. The key to our being with him is following him. And following him is doing the things that he has asked us to do. Father, we give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you because you will grow, germinate, you will bear fruit in our lives. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name.